Recently, I did a poll of coaches, and the number one complaint of coaches, the answer to what is the biggest struggle that you're facing? Getting clients. Why is getting clients for coaching so difficult or seem so difficult? It's not because the clients aren't out there. It's not because you don't have the skills or capacity or capability. The biggest reason is because you're talking one language and they're talking another. You're talking about the root problems that they have. You're talking about the certifications. You're talking about your life experiences that make you qualified to be their coach. They are looking for a solution to the problem they know they have. You see, you guys aren't talking about the same thing. They're talking about their surface level problem. And you're talking about the root cause. It might be that you guys aren't even talking at all, that you're not putting the right content out in the right places to speak to the clients that you're looking for. What is the solution? Well, my friend, you need an interpreter. I happen to be a lonely adrenal interpreter endotype. One of the gifts that I have is to be able to talk to you about your coaching business, help you identify your brand concept, help to see where your messaging is off, and help you to describe your business and what you do, who you do it for, answer all those questions in a way that's digestible. See, you're too close, the same way I get too close to my business, and I need to hire help to do the exact same thing. Because when we're too close, we can't see where our message isn't landing well. I want to be your business best friend. I want to talk to you and help you find an answer to the question, what do you do? I want to help you find website copy that converts. I want to help you design a website that's not only beautiful, but doesn't scare away your clients because it's out of alignment with who you are. Friend, if you want to talk, I'm here to talk. Let's set up a conversation, drop into the show notes, find my Calendly link, and book a call for free with me. Because this year, I want you to get clients.
This is the Raving Coaches Podcast, where we get real about the business of coaching. Here our guests discuss the gifts and joys of coaching and their struggles, challenges, and lessons. Now, here's our host, Laura Holloman.
Sarah, thank you so much for being on this episode of the podcast. I'm really excited about this conversation.
Thank you. Thanks, Laura, for having me.
Yeah. So I actually reached out to you specifically because of the type of coaching that you do. I'll let you tell everybody what it is that you do, because I've never heard of it before. And I've been in the coaching industry for, I don't know, a long time now. Over 12 years now. So why don't you tell everybody a little bit about what it is you do and kind of who you're doing it for? Just fill us in on you.
Yes, sure. I am a friendship coach, so I help people, specifically people who moved abroad, so expats, immigrants, to build a support network abroad, to make friends, to build a community, and that's aims at ending their loneliness. So I moved abroad myself nearly 5 years ago, and one of the things, or the biggest thing I struggled with, was really to start from zero in terms of friendships, having no one. I didn't know anyone apart from my partner who lived here, who I moved here for, and Yeah, it was a journey, and it was a quite a lonely journey and quite a difficult journey at times. And I really, really struggled with it. And then at some point, I just thought that I just want to help other people, who are either moving abroad or who have moved abroad and really struggle with it, to, make friends, to go out there, to meet people, and to make those meaningful connections, because that is, I think, what loads of people are missing or lacking, is these the meaningful connection, that deep connection. Because we might have some acquaintances or some, colleagues or people in our lives, but it doesn't fulfill us, because there is no depth to it. It's very superficial. So yeah, I help people to really work on their relationship with themselves first. And I help people to feel confident and to feel worthy and to feel just good within themselves, at peace with themselves. And that really allows them to meet people and not feel anxious, or to, not overthink it and not, go out there and think, oh my God, I have to go to this networking event and it's going to be horrible. And what am I going to say? And are they going to like me? All of these thoughts. So, yeah.
I was just talking with somebody today who is a new member of a networking group that I'm a part of. And I've been a part of that group, like the national organization, for over 8 years, and a part of this chapter for like 5, 6 years. And we were talking about that and how she's like, there are certain members who have been there for a long period of time. That as a new person, she's like, I felt like I wanted to connect and reach out, but I wasn't sure I was allowed to, or, like there was this me and them perspective. So I totally like hear what you're saying right now. And I also observed, so my mom is 20 years older than I am. So we kind of figured out growing up together. And I remember watching her struggle with friendships for such a long period of time that when I saw Friendship Coach, I was like, oh, that's amazing. One of the things that you just said was you start with their relationship with themselves first. Tell us why that's such an important step.
Because you, so for example, if you are at a place where you don't like yourself, you don't believe that you are worthy of love or of connection or of appreciation, if you just don't feel like you, are worthy and valuable, then any connection you are going to form, anytime you do attempt to meet people and make friends, you're always going to search for that kind of for that approval, for them to make you like to do certain things that you then interpret as, I am worthy. See, they do love me, so that means I'm worthy. I am good enough. I am, I'm worthy of that love. I'm worthy of that connection. And that obviously, first, so there are two main problems with that. First of all, that is not a healthy relationship. That is not a healthy friendship, right? If we are just in that wanting space at all times, that is not a healthy relationship. And the second thing is that we can't ever, like, other people can't ever fill those gaps for us. So that means we are forever going to chase something that we don't know what it is, but nothing that someone else can do is going to fill that gap. So we really need to fill that gap within us first, to then go out and actually make connections from a place where we're unattached and where we're not needing them to do something, needing them to say something or be some way, and let us, like, show us in a way that we are worthy. That's never going to work, and that's never healthy. So that's why we start with ourselves first, really building, like, filling our cup first and feeling full and feeling at peace and feeling good, to then go out and really make those connections. And again, with that, from that place, a lot of people really struggle with judgment or with rejection. So if you're at a place where you don't feel worthy, where you don't feel good enough, and you need other people to approve of you, then judgment hits really hard, right? As opposed to being at a place where you know that you're good enough, where you know that you're worthy, people can have judgment. And even though it might not be the best thing still, you know, it's not necessarily a great feeling to get negative feedback or judgments, but we don't necessarily make it mean anything about ourselves, which is again something I help with my clients with in the coaching, really to understand that it has nothing to do with them and that it's that person's opinion or that person's thought, right? Yeah,
right.
So we just have a different place to be making those connections from if we're fully aware that we're worthy in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, such valuable insight there. With the endotype formula, the personality profile assessment that I've created, one of the things that it showed me is that each of us have this side of us and these parts of us that seek to protect us. And then they're connected to like energetic cravings. We might crave love or crave identity, crave significance. And then we have the parts of us that create possibility and where we can pour into other people. But with what you're saying around worthiness, and you and I talked about the fact that you're a visionary endotype, and as a visionary endotype, right? Some of the things that are on your possibility side that you're pouring into your coaching clients are around worthiness and belonging and understanding. Like, right, Brené Brown, right? The way to understand belonging is not where we fit in, it's belonging to ourselves first.
Yeah.
And so if your clients have worthiness or belonging on their craving side, that's where we start this cycle that you're talking about. Like, you need to make me feel worthy. You need to make, because it's a craving they have, instead of understanding that, which is right, like what I love everybody to understand is that these things are our natural birthright, worthiness and belonging. And when you're questioning that worthiness, it's for you to do a self-evaluation, like, it's not so much you make me feel worthy. It's more about, is my worthiness being respected here
Yes.
in this relationship? And with that information, we can make some choices, or we could set new boundaries, or we could have a new conversation, or we can ask for what we want or need. But it's more for reflection and less for make me feel that way, because that's what I crave. But it's just kind of how we're designed, is to naturally approach it. So I love that. I've not full disclosure, right? I live about 11 miles from the spot that I was born. I have not had the experience of being an expat. I did move away to northern Wisconsin for about 3 years. But why do you think that that your clients and kind of this expat community maybe has a harder struggle or needs this coaching more than everybody else?
So I think they don't need it more than everybody else. I think everyone equally would benefit from it. But I think I have, and that is the thing. I mean, I do support everyone who, so my clients at the moment, no, actually, that's not true. Most of my clients are expats. I have one client who did move abroad who still wants that support because he sees that it's, you know, would help him to achieve his goals and be more fulfilled. But I think expats, the reason why I specialize with people, helping people with expats who moved abroad, is because I've done it myself, so I've gone through it myself, so I really know how people feel like. And I think there are some, so on top of all the struggles that everyone is experiencing in terms of making friends and making connections, for expats or people who moved abroad, immigrants, expats, there is an additional layer, or there can be additional layers, which, for example, are different cultures, different languages, and really, you it, and it doesn't even need to be moving abroad. It's just the concept of starting new, so moving somewhere. So obviously, if you move abroad and you move to a country where they speak a different language, you have that on top of all the other issues. But it's really just this idea of starting from scratch, and that can be from through a move, even just to a different city, or it can be maybe after a divorce and you feel like, okay, I have to, like, I'm kind of restarting again. I'm forming a new circle of friends. I'm forming a new support network because my old one has ended for whatever reason that might be. But yeah, I think generally everyone really could benefit from that support and really work on the relationships and the connection. Not everyone, obviously, but most people do. And it's not just necessarily people who moved abroad, because that work, like we discussed, is really working on yourself. And I think that is beneficial for everyone in any kind of life situation.
But I could definitely see, I mean, even if you move to an area, same language, but different culture. I had a school age friend who I grew up with who moved to Australia. And even some things like slang terms or curse words being different. He's sitting in the middle of the grocery store singing a song that he grew up with that had the word fanny in it because that was the girl's name. But where he lived, fanny meant something very inappropriate. Just Google search it if you're listening, and you'll he moved to Australia. So go ahead and search that. But the people he was with was like, stop. What are you doing? Right. And this really, and he was like, I don't know what I did wrong. And so I remember him telling the story, right? And he just felt so kind of humiliated almost, like not with just a cultural thing and being and right and good on his friends for, yeah, like maybe we don't sing about that here. But yeah, so I could see even if it's the same language, those cultural differences, and because so much of our identity gets wrapped up in culture, the culture of origin, where we grew up, kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. And that's so interesting about your friend. And I think what I experience, or what I have experienced within myself and what I see in my clients, is that it's not just these actual moments necessarily where things like that happen, but it's just the thought of that happening, like the thought of, I might say something wrong, or I might not fit in, I might not know what they mean, I might not be able to articulate what I mean. And so it's, and in case of your friends, some people then would may they might have that experience and then afterwards be so anxious about that happening again that they really isolate themselves because of the fear of that humiliation that they experience, right? So it's that actual the actual kind of factual things of there are issues, but it's also the mindset that comes, like the fear, the anxiety, that stuckness and stagnation that comes with the thought of, I'm in a different culture and I don't fit in and I might make mistakes and I might be seen as different. And yeah, so I think that's quite interesting to think about both ways, because that has a huge impact, the mindset and how we show up.
It would be interesting to me, right? I always think of things through the lens of the endotype formula anyways. One of the questions that we ask in our quiz is about how you interact socially. And it would be interesting to me to to see if the majority of your clients are don't feel a natural fit for community. So there's like half the endo types that it's not like they all feel like they fit in wherever. You and I are of that type where we feel pretty comfortable in social situations, right? Like when we find our people, we know we find our people. Here we go and moving on. Then there are some that are always carefully maneuvering through social situations and always feel a little bit like it's me and all of them. And even when that is in their own family of origin, in their own relationship, it's like, I know I've been married to this guy for 30 years, and I still feel like I don't belong to him or he doesn't belong to me. Because it's this, it's part of their endotype design that they feel a little separated. So it would be interesting to me to see if you're attracting more of those individuals, and with the hope, with their hope being that that's someday going to go away, when really it may not.
And I think that's so interesting, and I can imagine that most of my clients and most of the people who struggle with forming connections and the whole friendship topic really fall to into this category of there's me and then there's others, you know, to have like I think they really feel that separation. And I think when you just shared that, I think what came to my mind was that relationship with yourself. I think if you are like, if you, when we feel like we belong, right, that's an emotion that we have in our bodies. Like we feel belonging to other people. And I've never, I mean, I haven't felt as strongly like I belong as I do right now. Like, sorry, I don't know if that made sense. So back in the day, I feel like I haven't had that strong sense of belonging that I have now. I feel like there have been changes. And I mean, it's still sometimes, I mean, I wouldn't say 100%, you know, you said we don't fit in always and all of the times, but I do most of the time feel like I belong, but because I choose to belong. I make, like, I see things where if I do attend a new group, a networking event, I consciously seek out things where I feel like I belong with them, if that makes sense. Like I, it's not just I go there and I feel like I belong. I actively work on belonging. And I think that is something, you know, that you can work on, but that some people probably really struggle with.
My mom is one of those endotypes that doesn't have a natural sense of right of connection. Always feel a separated, even right from her kids, from and when she and I talked about this years ago, when this was part of the endotype formula that I was discovering and it was unfolding, she was one of my guinea pigs, whether she liked it or not, because I would talk to her about it and see if that was her reality. And she was like, yeah. She goes, and I said, yeah, that's just part of the design. That's part of how you operate now. And she's like, it's not gonna go. Like that's my normal. That's your normal. But know that the way you feel doesn't make it true. And she was like, that was a brand new thought for her to have to understand that, yes, you may feel there's a separation. We don't all feel there's a separation. We love you. We accept you, whether you feel that way yet or not. And after she got that, I have watched her in her 60s now develop really amazing friendships. And that has been just the best thing for me to see.
That's amazing. I love that. And you know what? I love that you said, you know, it seems like realizing that it is a choice, like it, you know, that you, that it isn't reality. It's something that you can see that way or that way. Like, it isn't set in stone. It isn't the truth of the universe. It's what you, you know, do with it. It's how you
Yeah.
handle it. And I love that. And that's so true. And I think that is really empowering for many people. And I think many people don't know this, that certain things they believe to be reality and the truth of the universe isn't actually reality and the truth of the universe, right? And that can be so freeing and, yeah, liberating and empowering to just check in with yourself. Like, what are the things that I believe to be true about myself or about others or about friendships and how they work, and actually just question all of this. Like, is it that really true? Like, am I shy? Am I whatever? You know, is it true? And, or is it just the story that I tell myself about
Yes.
myself?
Oh, wonderful. Well, changing gears a little bit on our conversation here, we always like to talk a little bit about the coaching industry, and kind of things that we've observed, trends we're noticing as coaches. What are some things that either delight you or really horrify you that you're seeing in the coaching industry right now?
Yes, I have something that I see quite a lot. I don't know, recently, or if I just pay more attention, I'm not sure, but I see a lot this whole idea of kind of overnight success and sort of easy, you know, just do this for 30 days and you're going to be successful and everything's going to work out. And I am not in the coaching industry for as many years as you have. And so I think I would say about probably 2 years properly in the coaching industry. And in the beginning, when you hear this information and you don't have any context to put it in, right? You just get information and you can do this, and people have been successful in 3 months. They've made, I don't know, six figures and
Oh,
all of the
yes.
things, right?
Yep.
And when you are new in whatever, like, not even the years or the months that you actually do, but if you feel like you're starting out, if you feel like you don't have much context and you don't have much experience and you are fairly new and finding your own feet in this whole industry, hearing those bits of information can be very discouraging and very misleading. Like, I have felt it myself when I started out, and even now sometimes I still catch myself thinking, why is it so easy for them? And why is it not so, you know, why is it not that easy for me? Like, am I doing something wrong? Or maybe it's just not meant to be, or maybe there's something wrong with me. And all of these questions and these like doubts and worries come up until I then realize what's happening, and actually thinking, you know, that it, even if that is true for them, it doesn't need to be true for me. And like, I am on my own journey and I am not on someone else's journey, right? And just
Exactly.
seeing, yeah, just seeing that really helped me. But it's difficult sometimes. It is difficult sometimes to really separate out those stories and to separate yourself from that, of myself from others. And I get into, you know, scarcity and thinking, oh, they are doing well, I'm not earning millions, and what is wrong, and really just questioning and doubting. And yeah, that really annoys me, because I think it just gives a wrong picture to people who may be starting out, or who even just have a lower, you know, self-esteem, lower self-confidence. They might
Yeah.
take those messages on and really take, you know, use it against themselves and actually let go of that job of being a coach that might be the perfect thing for them.
Yes. Yes. Preach. Like, love it. Love everything you just said. And as you were talking, it reminded me of my days. I started off as I started off as personal trainer. I had a small women's fitness training studio, and I didn't realize I had experienced a lot of coaching, some large group coaching. I had a coach myself. I was bringing a lot of coaching into the small studio space. And so it was my clients and my staff that actually told me I was a coach at that point, because I just thought I was a trainer who talked a lot. But How many, like, we as women, right? We are inundated with the take this pill, drink this shake, do this program, and you'll lose all your weight in 6 months, 6 weeks, whatever. And a lot of us have learned, right, that that's not true. We don't buy into that quick fix solution. And then we get into business and we're very insecure about our business acumen, what we know and what we don't know. These programs that you're talking about, these just follow my model, right? Just, I have, of course it works. It works for everybody. Give me $10,000. It'll be fine. And it's not, it is the same as those diet pills that didn't work for everybody. This doesn't work for everybody because over here, yeah, you can take supplements that help you with maybe cortisol, or maybe it's, like you can take, but you also have to be eating some vegetables and drinking some water and going for a walk and maybe lifting a few weights. Over here, here's this guy's system, but you also have to be networking and you have to be comfortable having a sales conversation and you have to have a brand that is in alignment with who you are. And they don't tell you, like, that's all the fine print. So yes, I see that as well. And that's one of the things that that's one of the reasons I started the podcast, is to provide options for people. So talking to coaches who have been coaching, who have done the coaching thing, and then what works, what doesn't, how do you do it? So that instead of feeling like you have to pour yourself into this one specific mold, you can find your own way and path forward. Understanding that there are a few steps that you're going to have to take. Like, I think, right, I've developed Endotype branding. I think everybody needs to have a really good foundational brand. We're all going to have to meet people, whether that is online or in networking or in memberships, like whatever. We have to have some kind of an educational, let people know what we do funnel. We are going to have a sales conversation from time to time. And then we get to do the fun part, which is deliver the coaching. But so there's some parts that just always are going to be necessary.
And I think as well, I've done it myself. I think in the beginning, really underestimated the amount of time, the amount of that is needed to get to that point, the amount of failure that is needed to get to that point, the amount of, like you said, steps. And I don't know, I think it depends really how you take on those messages, really. But I think it is good to know that it does take longer, and it's not as easy as it might seem. And that's a good thing. I don't think it's a bad thing, but I think it's just sometimes being misinterpreted, or there are mixed messages about that. And I think promises are being made, like you said earlier, with the diet pill and some programs. And I think, there will probably maybe be people out there for whom it works. After 30 days, they make loads of money and they have a coaching practice or whatever. I don't know. I don't want to say that it never works, but I think probably it isn't always the case. And I think it is good to know that before you maybe commit to it, or in the beginning, to make sure that you kind of know what you're in for, and that it might, take some time. And it's a lovely process, right? It's not like that it's a horrible thing. Like, I've loved the process that I've been on. I've learned so much, I've grown so much, and it's been amazing. I wouldn't change it. But I think it's just good to know that there is a process that can be challenging. I think not everyone is up for that, and I think that's okay. But I think, you just need to know that.
And you don't have to, in finding the process, it's not always about following somebody else's model. Like, sometimes you can just go watch a YouTube video, right? Like, don't forget about Google. You don't always have to pay for that education to be able to figure out those processes that work for you. Once you find, like, oh yeah, I want to want to go this direction. Maybe find a coach or somebody who's selling a program that specializes in that one thing. But we're not ever going to be able to utilize all the methodologies and all the tools that are available. Pick and choose wisely.
Yeah. And don't fall. What I really hate about these programs as well, just to continue ranting about them, is they make, they, you know, it's they, the way they sell, the way some of those are sold is you have to have this, otherwise you're not going to be successful. And I love that you just pointed out, like, it doesn't need to be that 10 grand program, and it doesn't need to be that whatever coach, right? You can find your own way and get bits and pieces of information. And that's not to say that you shouldn't invest in yourself and shouldn't invest in coaching and your education. But I think that kind of scarcity of you need this or otherwise you're going to fail, that is the message I perceive sometimes. And I think that is just not the case. And I think it's really important, like you pointed it out, I think it's really important to say that you can learn how to do certain things with reading a book or watching a YouTube video or Googling. Like, you know, it's not like we have no other access to these bits of information.
Yeah. I was talking with a coach yesterday about a very high pressure sales coach that she had experienced, who basically, similar message, right? Do it or you're going to fail. You have to XYZ. And I was thinking about that this morning while doing dishes.
Love it.
Dishes and driving. Those are my best meditation times ever. And I was thinking, like, what advice? What's the general advice that I would give? And I'm not sure I can articulate it completely yet, but the thought that came to me was, don't ever hire a coach who uses sales tactics or a way of marketing that you wouldn't use.
Yeah, I love that.
Right? So some coaches are a lot more, some coaches are very direct. Very direct. You need this. I know you need it. There's alignment. I want you to say yes right now. For those coaches, having somebody who's a direct coach might be a great plan. But if that's not who you are, if you're a little bit more of a soft seller or a soft closer, and you're getting this direct voice in your face right now telling you, you need my program, I think we just can't hire coaches. Like, they have to still challenge us. But if we go, I would never act like that to someone else, they're probably not the coach for you.
Yeah. And I completely agree. And I think just if we think that through, if we feel like that, even just in that sales situation, sales conversation, how is the coaching relationship going to be like, right? Like, if I don't gel with someone, if I don't feel like, you know, there's a vibe or however you want to say it, right? There's a connection. Then I don't think that the actual coaching relationship is going to be much different. So yeah, I completely agree. And I love that you say that. And the way you say it, I think if we don't feel like we would do it that way, or if there's any form of, or I don't know, I don't think, you know, that might be the best fit. Yeah. I think that's really good.
Yeah. I really think we at least have to think twice.
Yeah.
You know, and just, I think this idea, I'm not sure it's fully formed yet. I'll have to do some more dishes and see what else comes in, but I think that's the start of it. So in terms of marketing and connecting with people, building your business, what have been some of the avenues that you found successful for yourself?
Yeah, I think for myself, from what I can say, in my experience, has all been on, like, the most beneficial ways of doing that have been by really deeply connecting with people, like on a one-to-one basis, really building these connections and relationships. And I know that probably people have heard that over and over, but I think that is really the thing that has worked for me, like taking out the sales idea completely out of, you know, out of the equation, out of the conversation, really getting to know the person on a personal level without being like, oh, Laura, I want to sell you my program. Do you want to buy it? That actually have an interest. It's so funny because every time I think about it from a from like an abstract sort of level, it's so similar to what I teach and what I do, my friendship coaching, right? It's building a connection with people.
Well, right.
And
That's why it works for you. That makes total sense to me.
yeah. So it's actually really funny. But yeah, so that is really what I've been doing, really getting to know people and being there, or like, and not giving them the feeling like, oh, I want to sell you something, or you should sign up for this, but really just being there as a person, listening to them, and not to coach them, you know, not to do any of that, but just to be a person, like with them, just to be on a, you know, and that's so
Can we be
simple.
people too?
Yeah. And sometimes we
Thing.
forget. Yeah. But because we are so attached, right, to the outcome, because we want to, and that again, now as I'm talking about it, really realize, again, it's the same with friendships. When we aren't, so I think we feel attached to the outcome. We want to make a sale so that we can get proof for it's working and I'm a good coach and I can sell. So we again like others to do the work for us as opposed to actually doing the work for ourselves, like with the friendships, relationships with yourself. You know, we want to make those, we want to sell, obviously, to earn money to pay for our bills and our outgoings.
Yeah,
But I
of
think
course.
there's a lot as well in terms of I need you to say yes because that shows me that I can sell, that I'm a good coach, that I'm doing it right, that I'm should be in business, that I, you know, and I think if you take that out, and that's very difficult to take out, I think, and I'm still working on it. It doesn't always happen perfectly for me either, right? But I think if we're conscious about it and we try to take it out of the equation, what's left is that personal connection. And I think that is what people, or at least the people I think I work with, that is what I feel they want. They don't want me to sell them. They don't want me to prove them anything. And they don't want to be the person who, you know, who fulfills my needs. Like they don't owe me anything and they don't need to do the work for me. And that shouldn't be kind of what we request, but I think sometimes it is if we're not conscious about it.
Yeah. I think that you're pointing out a really distinct correlation in. So I was talking with a coach who her specific type of coaching required a lot of her clients' vulnerability. And to be really, really super vulnerable, because it was just this deep and very emotional kind of coaching that she was selling. And the advice that she was getting is to create kind of a hands-off, kind of one of those tiered systems of sales where you have like your low-priced item, and then you have your mid-priced item, then you have your high-priced, really one-to-one kind of coaching. And I was like, how's that working? She's like, it doesn't. If I can get them on a discovery call with me, she goes, I have a 60% closing ratio. But she was trying to take them on this path to get to that discovery call that they weren't willing to take, because they what they want is a safe space and a real human to talk about this vulnerable part of their life. They want safety. And so she had to create this marketing system that helped them to feel very safe. And for you, right? What do they want? They want friendship. So you have to create a marketing system that helps them feel like, and there's an amount of vulnerability there too, with, I don't feel like I have friends. I don't feel like I know how to make friends. You know, like, whereas others, when you're selling more of an info product, or you're selling, maybe it's a less vulnerable way of coaching. Maybe you're selling communication techniques, or you're selling, you know, stress management in the office space. You may not need as much of the relationship connecting one-to-one kind of what you're talking about. So it's a unique way to look at it, to be able to see or to evaluate how to set up your marketing.
Yeah, definitely. I think it
Go ahead.
No, yeah. I think it, like, I love that you said that about safety. And I think, again, I obviously, haven't got broad knowledge about other people's niches and kind of what they sell and how they might best sell it. But I think for me, what it comes down to is that safety is, can, like, do I feel safe to open up with Sarah? Do I feel safe to share with her that actually, yes, I don't have friends? And there's a lot about, there's so much stigma and shame about, I'm a 30 whatever 5-year-old woman and I don't have any friends, like, what's wrong with me, right? And then
Right.
opening up to someone else to say that and to ask for help, when actually making friends should be so natural and should just come to people and should just, be that natural process that just happens, but it
Yeah.
doesn't. And the
No,
older we
that's the
get, it
lie,
doesn't.
right?
Yeah, that is the
Yeah.
lie, but everyone thinks it is. So then when it doesn't come naturally and I don't have it, there is something wrong with me. So, opening up to someone, feeling safe, and then, so I think safety is something other people probably can take away from this as well. And I think that applies to probably everyone. And I think the question that all clients want to have answered is, can that person help me with my issue? So can Sarah help me to make friends, to feel good with myself? And I have just recently looked into getting a hiring a coach for myself, and it was really funny to be, or interesting to be, on the other side, again, to think, what am I looking for? What is it that I feel I need, or that I, that I, yeah, what I'm looking for, what needs to kind of be ticked? And for me, it really was that safety, and can that person help me? I really, and that is, like, I think we all define that differently, or have different ways of answering that question. So, for some it is they have testimonials, for some it is they have that certain level of education. So I think it's very different how we answer it. But I think the bottom line for everyone is, can that person help me? Because otherwise there's no point in
Yeah.
hiring that person, right?
Yep. Yep. In our marketing, our clients always need to know that they need to feel seen. Like, oh my gosh, she's talking about me. You know, like, and there's right, there's ways, there's kind of tiers to our marketing language that I, when I work with coaches that I teach them, there's the public problem, that they're think, what are they Googling? Right, the public problem. There's then the secret problem, the thing that they're worried about that makes them want to even reach out to solve a thing, their anxiety, their shame. And then there is the problem that is the root, the thing that's unknown yet to them. I learned this method a long time ago from a coach, and that root problem. Often, as coaches, we see that root problem. We're like, oh, well, they're trying to create worthiness and belonging from somebody else, and they got to stop doing that. But if you market to that, crickets, because they don't even know it's the problem yet.
And
So,
that's so interesting, because I think if you do that, even just rather, what's the word, pushes people away, because they're like, well, that's not my problem. My problem is clearly, you're right.
right.
It's so funny. And
Right,
we think, oh
exactly.
my God, we figured it out. We're just gonna,
Oh yeah,
market
and
to
we get
that.
very proud of ourselves, because this is another thing that we as coaches, this is an us problem, because we're like, I know the problem. Let me tell you what the problem is. And we want to market to that deep thing because we think it'll make us sound more expert or sound more different. But what we have to do is we have to meet them at their level. So your clients might be Googling, right? Like, making friends as an expat, or right, getting involved in communities as an expat. The secret problem that you can speak to in your marketing is maybe you've always been that person who never felt like you belonged, never felt like you had friends. Like, and if making friends is so easy, why does it feel so hard? Right? Like language like that. And they're like, oh, that's. So if we can identify those different things, we can still work on the root problem when they come into our world and our circle, but to market to it doesn't work. So getting really clear on that, and that's one, and doing so by using, right, the endotype formula and what you do and what your clients do and your branding, and combining all of those things up into a perfect little, right, souffle of amazingness. That's what yeah. starts to really attract our clients into our world.
Yes. Yeah. So, I love that. I think really, it is. Sorry. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I want you to finish your thought before we go.
No, I just, yeah, I think it's so important to speak our clients' language in whatever, you know, way that is. I think it is really finding out what do they think the issue is, because that is
yeah.
what they are going to listen to, right? Not what do we know or think the issue is, but how do they describe their issue? What do they think it is? Because like you said, if I target that problem, you know, that the root problem, that is the problem that we have to work on, but they're not going to see that as, oh yeah, this is my problem. This is what I identify with. They don't even know this is the thing. So yeah, it sounds great. It is great. And it is important and probably the way forward, but it's not going to get you anywhere because people don't see it as, oh, this is me. And this is how I would describe how I struggle. No. So yeah, I love that you say that. And it's really important to use their language, to use how they describe their struggles and
yeah,
get on their level, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. Be able to identify that problem. This has been a lovely conversation. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
If people are listening and they're thinking, oh, I know somebody that I need to connect with, Sarah, how do we connect them with you? Is there a favorite social media platform or direct to your website? What's the best way?
Yes. So probably the best way is my Instagram. So you can find me there on friendships.abroad, and you can find a lot of my content and my teachings on there. So if you want to have a look, and you can also check out my website, which is friendshipsabroad.net. And yeah, I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook, but probably social media wise, Instagram is probably the best.
Perfect.
Best
Perfect.
Place.
We will connect that. We'll put your Instagram link right in the show notes so that people can find you and can hear what you are talking about these days.
Thank
and this has just been awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Loved it. Thank you.